How do you feel about money this morning? You know, where we spend eternity to a large degree depends on how we look at money and how we look at the things of this world. Jesus spoke quite a bit about this. In his teaching and in his preaching, Jesus talked a lot about our attitude toward money. And this morning, we're going to continue to look at a parable that he spoke in Luke chapter 16 on the idea of stewardship. This is called the parable of the unjust steward. It begins in Luke 16, verse 1. And the story basically is this. There was a man that owned property, and the Bible says that he had hired this steward who was a manager or overseer over his goods. The scriptures say that the one who was hired to be a steward was wasting what belonged to his master, and so his master put him out from that office or that position. Then this steward came up with a plan. He knew that he needed connections with people on the outside so that he would be able to survive, so that he would be able to get work and so forth. So the Bible says that he offered them to pay less of what they owed the master than what they really did. The Bible says in Luke chapter 16, verse 8, surprisingly to people that have never read this before, but yet at the same time, this is what happened. The Bible says that the master or lord of that unjust steward commended him. He complimented him. He was quite impressed with what this man did. The Bible says the reason why is because in verse 8, the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. There Jesus is saying that the people of this world, people who are not Christians, put more time and money and effort and energy and brainstorming and everything else. They put more of what they have into their worldly pursuits than we as Christians put into the work of the church. This is not flattering, and it puts us to shame, but Jesus is speaking the truth here. Sadly, folks, too often, this is true. Now, what we want to do today is to pick back up in Luke chapter 16, verse 9, where Jesus says some more about our attitude toward money, and he begins to take this story that he's told and apply it to our lives in some very particular ways. Now, remember, Jesus is not complimenting this man and saying that what he did was right. What we find here is that we need to remember what a parable is. Sometimes people look at parables and they try to take every detail in that parable and draw some kind of application from it, or they try to see some kind of parallel in it. Well, what we need to remember as we study parables is this, that a parable basically teaches a single truth. Now, I'm not saying that there are not different ideas that are taught by it or contained in it. I'm saying that what you need to look for in a parable is the basic idea of that parable. And what we find here is that the point Jesus is making is that there is a difference, there is a contrast between the level of dedication that people in the world have and, sadly, the level of dedication that people in the church have. And so that's the idea, and we don't need to read any more into it than that. But let's pick up here in verse 9 as Jesus continues to talk about this subject. In verse 9, Jesus said, "And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness." Now, the word mammon there in the King James Version, of course, refers to wealth or money. And he calls it the wealth or the mammon of unrighteousness. Now, he doesn't mean that money is evil by itself. He doesn't mean that it's unrighteous by its very nature. What he's doing here is comparing the money of this world to true riches. And in comparison to the true riches that he talks about down in verse 11, the Bible talks about the true riches there. In comparison to the true wealth, which is spiritual wealth, well, the money or the wealth of this world is, relatively speaking, unrighteous. That's what he means by that in verse 9. But let's continue. He says, "To make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations." What does Jesus mean here by friends of the mammon of unrighteousness? What does he mean by making friends of this wealth that we have in this world? I don't believe that he's talking about people. I don't think that he's talking about friends in that sense. I believe that what he's talking about here is making friends in a spiritual way, not of people, but friends in the sense of using and having the right attitude toward money and being blessed with contentment, faith, joy, peace, hope, love. These are real friends. He says, do this so that when you fail, that is, when you part from them, evidently when you die, they, the friends like love and faith, will receive you into everlasting habitations. Now, there are different ideas that people have about that passage, and you're going to read all kinds of things in commentaries. I've just told you my opinion this morning. But regardless of how you look at verse 9 and whether you agree with anything or everything I've said about it, what we do find is this. The overall lesson that Jesus is teaching here in this parable is how we look at money, and not only how we look at it, how we use it. Are we using our money for our own selfish interest, for our own selfish purposes? Do we simply look at money in this life as a means to further ourselves in this life, or do we see money as something that we use in order to help other people, in order to spread the gospel, as something that is absolutely temporary, that doesn't really mean that much to us, that we know we're going to part from? Folks, when you treat money like that, then you're going to make the friends that he's talking about right here, friends in a spiritual sense. If you put all of your stock in money, then what's going to happen when you part with that money? What's going to happen when you lose it, either in this life or when you die? You see, you can go to your death and not make any friends at all in the spiritual sense that he's talking about here, and then if you do that, then you're not going to be received into everlasting habitations. But if you go through this life, and money is your servant and not your master, and you've used it wisely, you've used it properly, you've kept your priorities straight, and you've kept money in the position where it does belong, then when you die, you will part from every dime of that money, and then you're going to receive the true riches, which are in heaven. On the other hand, when a person puts all his stock in money, when he bases his whole life on the riches of this world, then he fails to make these friends that we've talked about. He fails to develop faith and hope and love and mercy and justice, the things that he really needs to carry with him when he departs from this life. You'll remember in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7, that the Bible says that we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. You're not going to carry away or take with you anything material, anything physical when you die. You can't even take your own body with you. It's going to stay on the earth. You can't take your clothes. You can't take your house. You can't take your bank account. You can't take any of that with you. But there's one thing that you can take. You can take these spiritual assets that we've talked about. You can take your faith. You can take your love. You can take your hope, your justice, and so forth. But if you haven't developed those, if you have not kept money in its proper place, and you fail to make those kinds of friends, then you're going to die, in a spiritual sense, friendless. Now that's the lesson, as far as I can see, that Jesus is teaching us here in Luke 16, verse 9. Now in verse 10, Jesus says something else that is very interesting. He says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." If you're faithful with a little, you'll be faithful with much. Now let's just apply that to the human realm. If you've got a worker and he handles a little bit of money and he's very conscientious about that, he wouldn't cheat you out of a little amount. Well, that same man is going to be faithful with much, and he's not going to cheat you out of a lot. But on the other hand, he says, he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. So if you have a man that is working for you, and he cheats you over just a little, then he's going to cheat you over a lot. If a man will lie over a few dollars, he's going to lie over several thousand dollars. If he's stingy with a little, he's going to be stingy with a lot. If he's selfish with a little, he's going to be selfish with a lot. And so it is, folks, that the contrast that Jesus speaks of is very true. He's going to be faithful with much. And we might also mention this application, that if a person is a faithful giver, when he only makes a little bit, then he's going to be a faithful giver when he makes much. There are many people that say, well, I don't give because I don't make a whole lot. Well, give according to what you make. Give as you have been prospered, like the Bible says. God doesn't expect you to do more than you're able to do. But the Bible shows that if a man is serious, if he's conscientious about his giving when he's only making a little, then he's going to be conscientious about his giving when he makes a lot. So Jesus goes on here and he says in verse 11, "If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now Jesus did not say you cannot have money and serve God. He said you cannot serve, that is, you cannot serve loyally, fully, and truly both God and money at the same time. Both of them cannot be your master. That just won't work. It cannot happen. And by the way, folks, let me mention to you something here about the overall context. I've said that Luke records a lot about money. He gives us a lot of accounts where Jesus taught about money. Now think about this. In Luke chapter 15, just in the immediate context that we're looking at here, in the chapter just before this, in Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son is a story about an inheritance. It's about money. And then Luke chapter 16 ends up with the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And then also, what we find after Jesus gave this teaching is something very interesting but not surprising, and that is in Luke chapter 16, verse 14, the Bible says that the Pharisees were there when Jesus spoke this parable. They heard it, and here's how they reacted. Luke 16, verse 14, "And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him." Folks, we all need to look at ourselves and be very honest and ask ourselves the question, what is my attitude toward money? How important is it to me? And do I love God more than anything or anybody else on this earth? Because the day is coming in which we will all part with everything that we see around us. I want to thank you for tuning in today. It's been a joy to study with you, and we hope that you have a great rest of the day.